So there's a couple of readings. The first one is from John chapter 1, starting at verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then going over to verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Now hopping over to Hebrews chapter 7. This is page 971 of your pew Bibles. Now there have been many of those... starting at verse 23. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day by day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who's been made perfect forever.
So, for any of the kids who want a worksheet, I've got these here and some pens. Kiralee, can I get you to hand those out? Thanks, Kiralee. All right, please try and keep a thumb there in both those readings if you can, but if you can only choose one, go with the Hebrews reading. Over Christmas, we've been looking at Jesus as our prophet, our priest, and our king, looking a little bit bigger picture than we sometimes do, trying to think about why Jesus came and the role that he has in our lives. So today we're looking at Jesus as our priest. As we come to it, let's pray. Jesus, it is marvelous good news for us that you are our priest. And we need a priest. We need someone who can cleanse us and make us whole and be with us. We thank you for all that we celebrate at Christmas, you coming to be one of us, coming to dwell among us. Lord, as we think about your work today, I pray that you bless us and encourage us and lift us up and strengthen us. And I pray this in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to imagine that you have had an accident and you're in hospital. You need treatment, you need care, and the good news is you've got nurses that are looking after you. They'll be monitoring your vitals, they'll be cleaning your wounds, they'll be helping you get better. If there's a change in your condition, those monitors start beeping. They're going to make sure they advocate for you. They're going to go and get a doctor to make sure that they can treat you. And what an incredible and valuable work that our healthcare workers do. Like, what an incredible profession that these people do. But now I want you to imagine that you're actually friends with one of those nurses, like personal friends. And when they finish their shift, they actually come and they sit beside your bedside. They might still be there sitting in their scrubs, but at that point, they're not doing their rounds, they're there sitting with you. They might ask you what happened, not because they're doing triage, but because they actually know you. They want to be there for you. They're actually interested in you. They ask how you're going. They're there for you. As human beings, we need both, don't we? There are times when we need healing and we need cleansing, but there are also times when we need comfort and we need care. Well, this Christmas we're looking at why Jesus came. Jesus came to be our prophet, to be our priest, to be our king, and today we're looking at what it means for Jesus to be our priest. There are great blessings that come to us because Jesus is our priest. Before we get into it though, let's think about priests. What is a priest? I think in some ways this is kind of a foreign concept to us. You came to church today and you came without bringing a lamb or a goat or a basket of grain or olive oil. You didn't bring any of those things. Maybe you brought something to stick under the tree for the salvos, which is lovely, but you didn't bring any of those things, and that's not weird. That's not weird at all. In fact, the only time we would bring those things is if we were having a church potluck and you would cook it beforehand, right? But we need to think back to what a priest was like in the ancient world, because in the ancient world, you would turn up with a sheep. Before the coming of Jesus, a priest stood as a mediator between God and humanity. They stood in the middle between God and the people. And they offered sacrifices so that worshippers would be cleansed in the sight of God. They performed rituals and offerings on behalf of the people. One of the best descriptions is found in the book of Hebrews. If you want to dig into Jesus as your priest, reading through the book of Hebrews is the way to go. Listen to this description from the book of Hebrews. A priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He's able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. There's a reality here that we find difficult to grasp. That is that there needs to be a separation between a sinful people and a holy God. Sin is seen as an uncleanness that separates us from God. The relationship between a sinful people and a holy God is only maintained by being cleansed through sacrifice. And a priest's job was to offer those sacrifices that cleansed from sin and renewed that relationship. A lamb was offered as a sacrifice that cleansed people from their sin. That's what a priest did in the ancient world. And I'm suggesting that Jesus is our priest. He takes the place of those ancient priests and he stands between us and God as our mediator. And this morning I want to talk about three great blessings that come to us because Jesus is our priest. Three great blessings that come to us because Jesus is our priest. Firstly, he cleanses us from sin. Think about what the angels announced at Jesus' birth. We heard last week at the carol service, Joseph is told to name the baby Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. In our reading from John, John reveals something astounding. John talks in his gospel, John's gospel, he begins by talking about the Word becoming flesh, God becoming a man, and then he jumps forward to the ministry of John the Baptist when Jesus is an adult. John the Baptist says this: "The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He repeats it again in verse 35. This is the Lamb of God. John points to why Jesus came. He will be the sacrifice for sin. Peter goes on to say this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things like silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Peter thought, John the Baptist thought, they clearly thought that Jesus was taking the place of the sacrificial lamb. And the early church saw that the lamb was also the priest. In offering himself, Jesus is our priest. Listen again to our reading from Hebrews 7. If you've got it there, you can follow along. I'm jumping around a lot this morning. Hebrews 7, starting at verse 26. "Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sin and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself." He offered himself. He is the priest who offers himself for us. And because he did that, we can be confident that we are cleansed of sin. That's the first great blessing of Jesus being our priest. We can be confident we are cleansed from sin. We don't come back again and again, bring another offering to re-establish and renew the relationship. We don't need to do that because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice and Jesus is our perfect priest. We are confident of his forgiveness, confident of his cleansing. And that is good news of great joy. It's good news for you. It's good news for me. It is such a relief. There is nothing worse than feeling like your failures are going to follow you around forever, that you can never be free of your past, that you have to bear the burden of guilt and shame forever. No, to find that that burden, that is lifted off. It's a relief. Jesus made the perfect sacrifice, and if you've put your faith in Jesus, you can be confident you're forgiven, you're cleansed. His blood cleanses you from all sin and all shame. And this Christmas, maybe it's a good moment to let Jesus take that load off you, that load of guilt and shame. It's good news. The second great blessing for us is that we have a mediator. We have a heavenly priest who represents us before God. Hebrews 7:25 says this. 7:25. "Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." What does it mean that Jesus is our mediator? That Jesus intercedes for us? What does that mean? It means that Jesus stands between us and God and reconciles us. He's our advocate. He advocates for us in the presence of God. He makes peace. Isn't that what the angels announced the very first Christmas? "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" Think about that. Before the throne of God, you have an advocate who is interceding for you. It's what we sung earlier. "Before the throne of God above, I have a good and perfect priest." I botched up those words, but you know what I mean. A priest who stands before God and pleads for you. You have a priest who brings you into the presence of God. Hebrews 10:19 says this, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. Because of Jesus, you are welcome in the presence of God. You are welcome in the presence of God because you have a mediator. You can approach God boldly, confidently. When you pray to God, you can be confident he hears you and he accepts you. You can be confident that when he looks at you with love. You can be sure you won't be driven away or condemned in the presence of God because Jesus, your priest, was driven away and condemned for you in your place. And you now stand with him. And Jesus is right there putting in a good word for you. There have been a few times when I've been invited into a defence facility. That's one of the joys of working in Canberra and ministering in Canberra. I've occasionally been invited into a defence facility to visit someone. And when that happens, the person I was visiting, they had to come and stand in the lobby and they had to vouch for me. I had to show my ID. They had to sign me in. And I'm issued a pass that I had to wear at all times while I was on site. Some of you are like, oh yeah, this is my job. So on one occasion, there I am in my past, one occasion I walked into the staff kitchen to make myself a cup of tea, and there were some people in there who were giving me some very official side eye. I was like, what? Because, like, let's be honest, I do not exactly look military. So there was some very official side eye going on, and that wasn't until they saw the pass. Once they clocked the pass around my neck, they're like, oh yeah, okay. It was really clear, very clear to them, very clear to me. I was only there helping myself to the tea bags because someone had been a mediator. They had interceded for me at the door. They had ushered me into the Holy of Holies, that is the staff kitchen, and I confidently received the blessing of tea, but only because there was a mediator. And that's the second blessing of Jesus being our priest. We are welcomed into the presence of God. We have a mediator. We have someone interceding for us. And I want to urge you, take up that blessing. Spend time in God's presence. Bring your prayers to him. Bring your requests to him. Approach him boldly and confidently because he wants to spend time with you. You don't have to beg your way into the presence of God. He is there with open arms. I want to urge you, take up that blessing. Go to God in praise. Go to him in confession. Go to him in adoration and in need. Jesus has opened the way to God, so run in it. So I've said there's three great blessings that come to us because Jesus is our priest. He makes us clean. He welcomes us into the presence of God. But the third one is this. Jesus is a priest who knows what it is like to be weak. To be weak. He knows what it is like to struggle. When we are weak, when we are tempted, when we are low, he knows just what we are going through. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews 4 verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. If you have gone through a period of darkness or doubt or suffering or pain, you will know how precious it is to have someone who knows what you are going through. Someone who can put their hand on your shoulder and they can sit next to you and they can say, I've been through what you are facing. I know how much you are hurting. I know what you're going through. That is such a blessing. There comes a time for advice. There comes a time for being cheered up, but in moments of struggle, what most of us need is someone who can say, I know what you're going through, and they can mean it. If you've been in those moments, you know how much it can lighten someone's burden, how much it can open them up to hope. In Jesus, we have a priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses, a priest who knows what it means to be tempted. Now, as far as I know, I could be wrong and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I know, this is utterly unique in religion. Utterly unique in the religions of the world. The idea that God knows what we are going through, not objectively, but from the inside. And this is where the incarnation of Jesus, what we celebrate at Christmas, Jesus, the Son of God, becoming human, it is astounding. We say these words at Christmas, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh. Do you see what that means? Jesus knew hunger and pain. Jesus knew sorrow and joy. Jesus knew what it is to be tired and to be sick and to be lonely. He knew deep love and affection and laughter, but he knew hurt and betrayal and tears. He knows it. He knows it. Not like a doctor knows it with a stethoscope who understands the diagnosis. I can see what's going on. No, he understands it like a patient in the bed who knows how it feels. And this is one of my most deeply treasured joys at Christmas. This, for me, is one of the most deeply treasured things to celebrate at Jesus. At Christmas. That Jesus came and became one of us. We sung my favourite carol, thank you, Enling. We sung my favourite carol earlier in the service, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. It's not a particularly common carol, and verse 2 and 3, especially not very common, but verse 3 has these lines. I love this. Come to earth to taste our sadness. He whose glories knew no end, by his life he brings us gladness, our Redeemer, Shepherd, Friend, leaving riches without number, born within a cattle stall. This, the everlasting wonder, Christ was born, the Lord of all. Everlasting wonder. That God, the Lord of glory, would become one of us. That Christ was born. But did you catch it? Did you hear it? Come to earth to taste our sadness. To taste it. He knows our weakness. He knows our temptation because he has tasted it. And that's the joy of Emmanuel, God with us. It isn't just the astounding metaphysical wonder of God becoming a man. That is enough to contemplate for a long, long time. But it is that God comes to dwell with us as one of us. The writer of Hebrews says this, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because Jesus is our priest, we know, we are confident that at the throne of God there is mercy, there is grace when we are in need. In our need, his grace is with us. What a blessing. That Jesus knows our weakness and he gives us grace. So what do you do the next time you're feeling down? The next time you are feeling low? You can say, Jesus, you know exactly how I feel. It isn't hidden from you. You have felt everything that I'm feeling and worse. Please give me your comfort. What do you do the next time you are feeling tempted? When sin feels so loud in your ears, you can say, Jesus, you know how real and powerful and urgent this temptation feels. You know what it is like to fight this battle. But you fought this battle and you won. Will you help me? I'm in need. Give me your grace. Give me your grace to help me. What do you do the next time you feel weak? When you don't feel strong enough, you can say, Jesus, I'm struggling. I don't think I can go on. These mountains, they look so big. My faith feels so small. You know what it is like to feel weak. You know what it's like to feel helpless. You felt this weakness. Give me your strength. Give me your strength. What do you do the next time you feel afraid? You can say, Jesus, I'm afraid. It feels paralyzing. You know what it's like. You wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane with your fears, and you were still able to walk in faith and obedience. Please give me your mercy. Help me to trust. Help me to hope. Help me to walk with you through everything that I'm facing. Do you get it? Jesus is our priest. He sacrificed himself for our sin. He brings us into the presence of God, and he knows everything that we are going through. So let's marvel again that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray. Jesus, what a blessing for needy people like us. People who fall and fail, people who are scared and afraid, people who suffer and need comfort. You are with us, and you know exactly what we are going through. I am so thankful, God, that you came to earth to taste our sadness, and that through your life we are given gladness. Lord, I pray this Christmas that you would bless us, that you'd encourage us, that you'd strengthen us, that you'd give us hope. We've heard again and again this morning that we can approach your throne with boldness and with confidence and with assurance. And I pray for every weak and struggling heart that you would give us boldness, confidence, and assurance. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to fear. We don't have to suffer alone, because you are right there with us. And I pray that you'd lift us up. That you'd give us your grace. That you fill us with joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.